First, students from Parkland, Florida have planned a nationwide school walkout, met with many politicians, and have taken leadership roles in gun control activism in the last few weeks. Our next guest makes the case that if these students are politically engaged in activism, maybe they should also be allowed to vote. Lawrence Steinberg is a professor of psychology at Temple University and an expert on adolescence. He's the author of Age of Opportunity, Lessons from the New Science of Adolescence, and his piece in the New York Times is Why We Should Lower the Voting Age to 16. Lawrence, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Well, tell us, Larry, about this idea of lowering the voting age. Make the case for that.
Well, there are a couple of different arguments in favor of it. The first is that if we look at the skills necessary to be an intelligent voter, it's quite clear that by the time people are 16, they're just as good or maybe just as bad as adults are. So I know that a lot of people are skeptical about extending the vote to people that young, but studies show that people that young can do it. But maybe more important is that we know that when people vote the first time they're eligible to vote, they're more likely to have the habit of voting in future elections. And studies that have been done in countries where they do permit people, 16 and 17 year olds, to vote, find that their turnout is actually substantially higher than young adults' turnout is. So the idea here is that by allowing teenagers to vote when they're juniors and seniors in high school, we will help develop a habit of voting that will increase voter turnout in the future.
Now, an argument against this that you hear from people is, hold on, we don't let people drink until they're 21, for example. There are certain other limits on the age that people can do different things. And that's because teenagers, we know their brains are in some ways impulsive, more impulsive than grown-ups. You say, hold on, there's two different types of thinking involved here.
Right. So we in psychology, we distinguish between what we call cold cognition and hot cognition. So cold cognition is the kind of thinking we do in situations where we have time to deliberate, to gather information, to weigh different points of view, and then to make a decision. Hot cognition is cognition that we use in situations that are emotionally arousing. Well, voting is clearly a cold cognition scenario. I mean, a campaign goes on for a long time. Some of us maybe think it's endlessly long. But you certainly have an opportunity to gather information, to discuss it with other people. And when you're in the voting booth, you can take as much time as you want. So teenagers are just as good as adults in cold cognitive situations. Where teenagers' judgment seems to be deficient are in those emotionally arousing situations. The other point to make here is that we don't have perfect alignment between the different ages that we use to decide when people have certain privileges and responsibilities. You mentioned that we don't allow people to purchase alcohol until they're 21, but we do allow people to drive when they're 16 years old. So clearly, we're able to tolerate different ages for different decisions.
You mentioned different countries having lower age limits. Talk more about what we know about how people under 18 participate and vote and their future political interests.
Well, most of the countries that allow people that young to vote are either in Europe or in South America. And there have been some studies that have compared the turnout of people that age with other age groups. As you may know, as your listeners may know, in the United States, the lowest turnout is among people who are between 18 and 24. But in studies that have compared 16 and 17-year-olds with that age group, they find that twice as many 16 and 17-year-olds vote as do people who are between 18 and 24. So people that age are eager to vote, and they use that opportunity when they have it. The other point that I didn't have space to make in the Times op-ed is that 16 and 17-year-olds are in school, so that it would be possible to tie in elections to civics classes, social studies classes, and so forth, which I think also will help promote voter turnout in that age group.
16 and 17-year-olds, when they can vote, are way more likely to vote than 18 to 24-year-olds. Do we have an idea why that is?
It's not clear. One reason might be that a lot of 18 to 24-year-olds are in college, And they may be going to college away from where their voting district is, and they may just not take the steps necessary to apply for an absentee ballot or to go home on election day. Another is that some people think that 16 and 17, that age is an age when people get really passionate about things, and that passion can be turned into participation in elections.
Talking to Larry Steinberg about lowering the voting age to 16 in the United States. He says, for the kind of thinking that goes into making a voting decision, yeah, you're pretty well developed at age 16, as good or bad as an adult would be. You can share your thoughts, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Larry, they had kind of an invitation to comment on your piece in the New York Times. They're shooting for younger people, and a lot of people, at least claiming to be 16 or 17, chimed in. Some loved the idea. Some said, I'm a 16-year-old. I'm interested in politics. I don't think we should be able to vote. We're maybe too emotional, maybe too able to be swayed by our friends on social media. What would you say to that?
Well, I'm not sure that that adolescents are too emotional to vote. As we were discussing before, voting is not one of those situations in which people's emotions drive impulsive behavior, because, as I said, the elections unfold over a long period of time. I think that, you know, the key issue really is not what adolescents are like, but whether in key ways they're different from adults. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of adolescents do use social media and could be swayed by social media, but a lot of adults use social media as well. So I think you always have to ask, not just are adolescents good enough or not good enough at these things, but compared to what? And when we compare them to adults, we don't see huge differences.
Yeah, in the article you write, and I think you're talking about cold cognition here, teenagers, I'm quoting now, teenagers may sometimes make bad choices, but statistically speaking, they do not make them any more often than adults do. Can you flesh that out a little?
Yeah, so when I get into arguments with friends about this issue, and I will say that a lot of my friends disagree with me about this, they will typically resort to anecdotes about some 16 or 17-year-old who's made a bad decision or who seems ignorant about the issues or so forth. And I will ask them if they don't know adults who make bad decisions or adults who are ignorant about the issues as well. And so the issue is, statistically speaking, if you pulled a random 16-year-old and a random, I don't know, 25-year-old out, and you tested their abilities to make informed decisions, you wouldn't find consistent differences between those two age groups.
And this isn't completely unheard of in the United States. I think you mentioned in your piece that there's a place in Maryland, a city that permits 16 and 17-year-olds to vote. Now, that's just in local elections. Do we know, is that enough of a test case to know what happens there with younger voters?
Well, you know, we have to start someplace, and I think probably it's unrealistic to think that we're going to extend the right to vote to 16 and 17-year-olds on a national scale. But as you mentioned, Tacoma Park, Maryland, allows people that age to vote in local elections, and they have huge turnout among the 16 and 17-year-olds. San Francisco, during the last election cycle, had a referendum on the ballot there that would have permitted 16 and 17-year-olds to vote in local elections, and it lost by only a couple of percentage points. So I think that there are a number of localities around the United States that are poised to do this, and I think we're going to see more and more of it. Now, you know that the op-ed was tied into the Parkland massacre, and but I have believed that we should lower the vote for quite some time now. But I do think I was inspired to write the op-ed after having witnessed so many students around the country coming forward and speaking intelligently and in a very informed and thoughtful way about gun control. And, you know, maybe we should give the students who are in schools a little bit more say about policy.
We're talking to Lawrence Steinberg, professor of psychology at Temple University and an expert on adolescence. He's the author of Age of Opportunity, Lessons from the New Science of Adolescence. He's making the case to lower the voting age to 16 in the United States. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about 16-year-olds getting the vote in our elections? Do you have teenagers? Are you a teenager yourself? What do you think of the idea? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Lawrence Steinberg, professor of psychology at Temple University, author of Age of Opportunity, Lessons from the New Science of Adolescence. He's making the case. He wrote in a New York Times opinion piece that we should lower the voting age to 16. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us what you think of the idea, especially if you are a teen yourself. Call 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to your calls now. Carlton is with us in Mount Horeb. Carlton, hi.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my call. I think this is a really stupid idea, and I'll tell you why. I have a higher degree education than most people my age, and I can tell you from approximately sixth grade when I became politically correct until my last eighth year of college, each and every one of my instructors was a bleeding heart liberal. And what we are going to see is these young people who aren't completely developed yet in their thinking cannot make rational and informed decisions are going to be pressured and going to be raised in the liberal fashion.
Carlton, thanks for the call. So Larry Carlton saying we have liberalism in our school districts that's going to motivate these students to vote in a particular way.
I don't think that that teachers are going to sway kids to vote in a particular way. I think that parents in such a school district would be outraged if they discovered that. Kids very often follow their parents' politics, not the politics of their teachers. It is true that at least in the last election, the younger you were, now we're going down to 18, not 16, but the younger you were, the more likely you were to support Clinton over Trump. And the older you were, the more likely you were to support Trump over Clinton. So it is probably the case that if the voting age were lowered to 16, it would increase votes for Democratic candidates rather than Republican candidates. But of course, each political party tries to make arguments for why certain groups should or shouldn't be encouraged to vote on the basis of the demography of voting. So, I mean, this caller's point, needs to be contrasted with the strategies of right-wing individuals who themselves try to stop certain groups of people from voting because they don't like the way they vote.
Carlton, thanks for the call. Go next to Chris on the line in Columbus. Chris, hi.
Hi, yeah, I agree with the previous caller. This is not a good idea. And contrast it with things that are going on in our society today. You can't drink until you're 21. They're talking about raising the age of firearm purchase to 21. The age of majority was 21 until the 1960s. Adolescents do not have the perspective of time or the grasp of the understanding of the mechanisms of government in order to make electoral decisions. And I'll tell you, you can buy a gun at 18, but a vote has a wider and longer lasting impact than a bullet.
Chris, thanks for the call. Let's start with that point that he made that people at 16 say don't have the perspective of time to make an informed decision, Larry.
Well, it seems obvious to me that the longer you're alive, the better your time perspective is going to be. And by this gentleman's argument, we shouldn't maybe let people vote until they're 80 years old. So the question really is, what's the appropriate lower age boundary? The country didn't fall apart when the voting age was lowered from 21 to 18. And as I said before, no one ever seems to pay attention to it. We have plenty of different ages at which we allow people to do different things. So just because we don't allow people to buy alcohol at a certain age doesn't mean that that needs to be what the voting age is.
Right, and that goes back to the two different types of thinking you were talking about earlier.
That's right.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Dan is with us now in Eau Claire. Dan, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I agree with the first two callers, although I come from it from a little different perspective. I'm someone who has a hard time understanding why college students who come to Eau Claire can vote on, I don't mind them voting on state issues or federal issues, but when they're starting to vote on local referendum that's going to cost the taxpayer who live in the city more, I think that's wrong if they don't have permanent residence in Eau Claire. And the same would go with 16-year-olds who I think are going to be very influenced by a lot of information about smaller class sizes, more offerings in school, let's do this, let's raise this. I think they're just going to go for it as, yeah, let's do it. And they don't have any skin in the game. They will benefit by it, but not be a taxpayer.
Dan, thanks for the call. No skin in the game for people who are 16 or 17, he says, Larry.
Yeah, you know, there are lots of people that don't have skin in the game on one issue or another who are permitted to vote. There are lots of people. We don't tie voting to paying taxes in this country. So you don't have to earn income if you're an adult and pay taxes on it in order to be allowed to vote. So I don't really buy that particular argument. As for the influenceability of kids, I would only say that if you just look at television during an election cycle, you will see that adults are very influenced by the pleas and the marketing efforts of political parties as well. So it's not like adolescents have cornered the market on being susceptible to people's influence of them.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Larry Steinberg about lowering the voting age to 16. He's a professor of psychology at Temple University. Back to your calls now. Cindy is with us in New Berlin. Cindy, hi.
Hello.
What do you think?
Well, I have worked in high schools for 20-some years, and what I have noticed is that the students definitely do vote the way their parents do. It's really not a peer pressure thing. It's a family pressure thing. And I believe that 16, 17-year-olds should definitely have a vote, at least in their school board elections. And to your other guest, teachers are not allowed to share their political views with their students, period.
Cindy, thanks for the call. Cindy, open the idea, especially Larry, when it comes to school board elections, where kids do have some skin in the game, I guess.
Yeah, they do. They do, and if they are able to gather and process information about what the issues are facing a school board, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be able to vote on it. I think, can I just sort of step back for
sure.
A second and say that, at least in the first couple of callers, this is the kind of gut emotional response that this idea typically elicits. I was happy to hear from this last caller, not simply because she agrees with me, at least about local elections, but because at least there's some thought behind it. I think for a lot of adults, there's just this gut reaction that people this age are simply too young to be able to do this sort of thing. There were comments posted on the New York Times website suggesting that the op-ed was the stupidest thing that had ever been published in the paper. They typically would add that was a pretty low bar. And I just would encourage your listeners who are skeptical to just step back a little bit and just think about this and think about whether about what abilities are necessary to make an informed choice when you're voting, and ask yourself whether you think that the typical high school senior, for example, does not have these abilities.
Thanks, Cindy, for the call. Go next to Jasmine on the line in Platteville. Jasmine, hi.
Hi there.
What do you think, Jasmine?
I think it's a great idea to let 16-year-olds vote. We let them drive. So I think it would be silly to think that they wouldn't be thoughtful about their futures if given the chance to actually have a say.
Jasmine, thanks for the call. Larry, so Jasmine's saying they would actually step up and maybe be more thoughtful if they had that opportunity to vote.
Well, perhaps, let's just say as thoughtful as adults. The other point that I made it before, but I don't want to let it go, unnoticed, is that this is an opportunity for schools where 16 and 17-year-olds are captive, not to influence the way that students vote, but to educate them about government and about the importance of voting. And I think that by doing that, this will have a tremendous impact. The combination of doing that and allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to vote will really help civic engagement in this country, which is really at a very, very low level.
Time for one more call. Thanks, Jasmine. Marty with us in Lake Geneva. Marty, hi.
Hi, thank you. You know, we are now finding how intelligent one-year-olds are, two-year-olds are. I am all for 16-year-olds voting. We discount their intelligence just because of the number that they're 16. I mean, 18, we can shove them off to different countries and they can go kill people. Come on. You know, they are well-equipped to understand the vagaries of voting and act accordingly. I'm all for it.
Marty, thanks for the call. So, Larry, as we wrap up, are we just on that gut level, as you're talking about, underestimating our 16- and 17-year-olds?
I think we are, and I think the discussion is made confusing by comparing the different kinds of things that we allow people to do at different ages, because as I argued in the Times essay, different sorts of decisions about drinking, about driving, about using a firearm require different kinds of skills and abilities. And I think the ones that voting requires are ones that 16 and 17-year-olds have.
We'll leave it there for now. Larry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure, thank you.
We've been talking to Lawrence Steinberg. He's a professor of psychology at Temple University. He's an expert on adolescence. He's the author of the book Age of Opportunity, Lessons from the New Science of Adolescence. He joined us today to talk about his New York Times piece titled Why We Should Lower the Voting Age to 16. Still time for you to share your thoughts on this topic. You can tweet us. We are at Central Time WPR.